quite a while, but just taking a few minutes on Sunday afternoons doesn't get us through it very quickly. But we're not trying to be fast. We're trying to see what the Lord has for us in this book. And in James chapter 1, last time we saw in verse 26 this, that if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The word vain, I pointed out, has to do with futile. It's worthless. And so we were looking at a futile religion. The man who thinks himself to be religious, but has an uncontrolled tongue, is deceiving himself. His religion leads nowhere. It is futile. Now in verse 27, we have a contrast to futile, and I'm calling it faultless, a faultless religion. Verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, every man has religion. You have religion. Your neighbor has religion. Everybody has religion. Religion is a cause that is pursued with zeal. And somehow they've got some kind of religion, whether it's something that has to do with God or their own type of God. This religion, though, is one that is pure and undefiled. So this is a cause pursued with zeal that is pure and undefiled. Two things about this. I want to use the word concern. Concern. What is this pure religion concerned with? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Well, I do that every week, right? You go visit somebody and you go to their house and knock on their door and say, well, how you doing? Because you're just visiting them. That's what it means here, correct? Well, let's find what that means. In fact, we can find a good example back in the book of Genesis, the last chapter of Genesis and the first chapters of Exodus. So go back to Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter of that first book, and notice what Joseph says as he is about to die. He says in verse 24 of Genesis 50, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Verse 25, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Well, that's the same word, visit, in the Old Testament Greek that is in the New Testament. Go to chapter 3 of Exodus and look at verse 16. Hundreds of years later, after Joseph, the Lord says to Moses, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Chapter 4 and verse 31 is the last one I want to give as an example. And the people of Israel believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. That word visit is the same one used in James chapter 1 and verse 27 that we are to do to the widows and to the orphans. It doesn't mean that you just go knock on the door and say, hello, I'm just giving you a visit. It has to do with deliverance. God is there to deliver. Joseph, when he prophesied, take my bones with you because God is going to visit you, it doesn't just mean, well, he's going to come see how you're doing. He's going to come see how you're doing to deliver you, to provide salvation to you, to do something for you. So now when you take that and the context of that and apply that to James 1:27, what does it mean to go visit the widows, the fatherless, and the widows in their affliction? In James, It's not just some isolated acts, it's a fundamental attitude. And for whom is this concern that we're looking at here? James presents two of the most needy classes in the ancient world. In ancient society, this combination is frequently seen in the Old Testament. Widows and orphans, the fatherless and widows. Listen to Exodus 22, 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Deuteronomy 10, 18, speaking of God, he doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow. Zechariah 7, 9 to 10, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, oppress not the widow nor the fatherless. Isaiah 1, 17, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Time and again, you'll see this in the Old Testament, in the ancient world. Two in this class, the fatherless and the widows, are two classes that are often exploited by others. In fact, you get to Luke chapter 20, and Jesus is condemning the Pharisees for how they treat the widows. And then in the next chapter, verse 21, Jesus sees people giving their money, and that's when that widow gives the last 2 cents that she has, so to speak. And Jesus said, she's given more than everybody else. But in a previous chapter, he says, you exploit the widow. So these classes are exploited. Let's look at the orphans and their oppression. What is an orphan? An orphan is a child deprived of parents, either through death or being abandoned. I want you to notice something, though. How does the verse start as we consider the fatherless? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Any child of God is not fatherless. We have God as our Father. And perhaps that expression, and the Father, is included by James because he next discusses those who are fatherless. And if I recognize God as Father, I am more apt to be to others what he is to me. A father to the fatherless. So there's the orphans in their oppression, for widows in their oppression, somehow bereft of their husbands. The deacons in Acts chapter 6, what was the whole reason they were appointed? Because the widows were being neglected. So the principle does not limit the concern to orphans and widows. Those two simply represent needy classes. But here's why they are needy classes: because their need was not caused by foolish decisions on their part, but a need that was beyond their control. In their affliction is singular, not plural. It doesn't say in their afflictions, but in their affliction, talking about the affliction of either being a widow or a fatherless child. Therefore, the affliction is probably that horrible set of circumstances that made that child an orphan and the woman a widow. Helping people who have created their own oppressed circumstances only encourages them to remain oppressed. We don't help them by enabling them to continue on in a situation. How many times people are met with panhandlers on the streets of Colorado and in Greeley or Loveland, wherever you go? And they're not widows and they're not orphans. Typically, those people are in the circumstances they're in because of their own foolishness. And for you to help them is not helping them. You are enabling them. Every time I see them, I wonder, is this really something that is beyond their control? Or are they in the circumstances they are in because of their own foolishness? So that's the word concern. The verse ends with having to do with cleanliness and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So talking about this hypothetical person, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But it doesn't end there. and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How is it that one can stay clean? It is literally to keep himself from, or to guard himself, for him to keep watch over and continuously so, to watch himself from being being spotted by the world, to stay spotless, to desire for no contamination. Spotless. That's the goal. And to many, that's extreme. Or legalism. I remember when you would give our kids, when they were little, a bath before church, they would want to go outside and play, but you wouldn't want to let them do that because they didn't know how to remain spotless. They wanted to have fun, and their fun always included dirt somehow. And so for us to let them go out, I remember as a child, and my parents used to dress us in a coat and tie, even as little guys. And we would sit there. I remember getting my hair slicked back when I had it. And we would be sitting out there on the couch. And I can still picture Brad would be right next to me here. Mike would be somewhere. Delmer, Terry. And we'd all just be sitting there. We had to sit there still. We could not get up. We had to sit there in our coats and ties. Why? That's the only way for us to stay spotless on the way to church. But we want to have fun. Kids are not concerned about cleanliness, they're concerned about fun. The Christian is concerned about cleanliness. How to stay clean? Keep watch over. What to stay clean from? And in verse 27, what are we supposed to keep ourselves clean from, class? From the world. That's the word that is used. The source of contamination is the world. It's what we call worldliness. Worldliness is considering important what the world considers important. Taking our cue from the world as to what is very important. James 4:4, a friend of the world is the enemy of God. John 17:14-15, I have given them thy word, Jesus prays in his high priestly prayer, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil that the world represents. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. The world is a source of contamination, and yet we are called to reach the world for Christ. How do we reach the world for Christ and stay uncontaminated from it? Well, think about Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom, then moved into Sodom, and then Sodom moved into him. We don't isolate ourselves, we insulate ourselves. We separate ourselves from those things that the world practices that would contaminate us. Abraham, on the other hand, is a picture of the spotless, separated believer. And in the end, who had a greater ministry to this world? Are we all the children of Abraham or of Lot? Obviously, of Abraham. Lot, the friend of the world, or Abraham, who was separated from the world, who represents us more? Well, who represents you more? Somebody once said that the best way to minister to the needs of the world is to be pure from the defilement of the world. We don't reach them by joining them. We reach them by staying separate, not isolated, but separate. And that is just as much a matter of practice as it is attitude. That's something I'm not going to get involved in. We would need to say. So, do you have religion? Everybody does. But not everybody has a pure religion and undefiled that is exhibited by reaching out to the world in this way, and yet at the same time remaining spotless from the world. That we can do by the grace of God. It is religion that is active in helping others and yet remaining uncontaminated by the world. Lord, help us to be involved in reaching this world for Christ. Even helping physically those who are in a condition, in circumstances that are way beyond their control, and yet remaining uncontaminated, spotless from this world. May we be found faithful, even as we leave today, the people we encounter at work, at the stores, neighborhoods, Lord, I pray that we would be used of you for your glory. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by singing.